Hi, I want to begin this morning by saying hello to Charlie and Norma, who I heard from in Idaho. So it's good to hear from them. Glad to hear they're doing well. But I want to begin by what it says when we're told what Jesus can do with ordinary people. That was one of the things I came across this last week. Someone writing about what Jesus can do with ordinary people. And I thought for a moment, ordinary. Ordinary. What does that mean? Regular, normal, commonplace. But ordinary people. Think for a moment. Each and every one of us is a product of an infinite number of genetic possibilities. We all have been formed by relationships in our lives, by people we've encountered, brief ones, long ones, throughout family, school, work, recreation, communities, all the people that have been part of our lives. And think for a moment, all the decisions that each one of us has made, whether it be one or the other, millions upon millions of decisions have brought you to this place here and now. So what does it mean to be an ordinary person? So really, none of us is ordinary. Certainly none of us are normal. But think about you and for who you are and what you may bring to the life of another person. What you may uniquely bring to the life of another person. And only you. And what then can Jesus make of me? What can Jesus make of each one of us? What becomes of us when we're influenced by Jesus, and what becomes of us when we're empowered by Jesus in our unique and different ways? And how we are to continue to roll the role of Jesus with other ordinary people. For Jesus was about bringing people together and all their vast differences and uniqueness. Think about it just for a moment. Last week we read about Jesus' 12 disciples. Maybe you can recite them all by name, but there are two I want to particularly mention. One of them was Simon the Canaanean, or Simon the Zealot. He's one of the few disciples who has a title or a label attached to his name. And that's significant. Because the zealots in the day of Jesus, the zealots in the land of Israel, were those people who were revolutionaries. They held strongly to one firm belief that was to rid their land of the Romans by whatever means possible. And they zealously approached that position in all that they did, influencing all that they thought. And then on the other hand, you had Matthew. Matthew is described as tax collector. Tax collector. Tax collector were those Jewish people who were hired or appointed to collect taxes for Rome. To collect taxes from the people of Israel and to send them off to Rome and to fund the Roman Empire. Tax collectors were considered to be sellouts, traitors to their own people, often crooks, though, as well. Not only did they collect taxes to send off to Rome, but also they would skim to line their own pockets. So of the 12 disciples, you have Simon the Zealot, Matthew the tax collector. Put them alone in a room together and see what you get. What that would mean. If the disciples are brought together through their relationship with Jesus, That is the sole thing that brings them together. And how amazing that is. And the first instruction is given to the disciples was to go to the lost sheep and to gather and bring people together. And they were to be bearers of the good news. They were to influence people with their glad tidings. Their glad tidings of Jesus' love. And their task was to unite with the love they too had experienced through Christ. History, the history of religion, so often divides. And the message of Jesus was to bring together. So we are to take the instructions of those first disciples and apply them to our own life. We are to look for opportunity to bring people together. And Jesus says, expect to be challenged. But to have no fear of them, those who oppose you. Now, one of the things about us being ordinary is that we all have personal fears regarding people and encounters with others. What are they? Yours may be different than mine. Here's a few that you might have come across in your life. The fear that you have something to share, something that you are excited about, something that you find meaningful, but yet you don't. Or the fear in sharing something that is meaningful, but then you recognize it's not as appreciated by others as it is by you. The fear of the negative opinions of others around you. The fear of being wrong. Not opening your mouth. There is that expression that there are no stupid questions. None of us believe that. So often we will have a fear of asking a question because we think it might be stupid in the eyes of others. How often have you been in a group of people and having something to share and wanting to share, and as you get up the nerve to share it, your heart beats faster and faster and faster? There is a fear of not having answers. There is the fear to take on responsibility because maybe we really don't want to get involved. And there is the fear to love freely. Of being ridiculed, of having our feelings trampled on by others. We carry our personal fears with us. There was a couple who had been married for some number of years, and they were both career people, very, very busy, very important, very busy. And one day, as he was driving home from work, the husband realized that day was their wedding anniversary. Forgotten all about it. He was busy. So he stops at the store. He runs inside the store. He asks the employee who's there at the store, he says, "Well, where are your anniversary cards?" From the back of the store, he hears the voice of his wife. "Back here, John." There's so many shortcomings that we may have, and we carry with us those shortcomings and those fears. We are told to overcome them because a personal concern that we have not to grieve God. Personal concern to not grieve God's love for us. If we move forward, because Jesus shares the certainty that we cannot drift beyond God's love. And so we're not to deny Jesus with our words. We are to be different from the world. When Jesus speaks to the world, he talks about those people not living in relationship with God. living separate from God. So we're not to conform to the world, but to be transformed. We're not to deny Jesus with our silence. And that's the easiest thing for us to do, is to be silent. We are to speak. We are to speak out. And with that, we are to act. We are not to deny Jesus with our actions. We are not to live in denial for who we are and who we're supposed to be and who we are becoming. We are to live out being people of forgiveness and service and charity and generosity. We are to take up the cross to sacrifice ourselves. Sacrifice our personal comfort. Sacrifice our ease for the benefit of others. We are to bring together and we are to unite. And so often, we don't. I want to share this about Allison. It's not a bad thing. We like to go on vacation. We'll go down to Rocky Point and we'll stay at one of the places there along the beach. And usually there's big pool areas and a lot of activities and so forth. Now when I go, I do two things. I bring a book to read and my golf clubs and I go play golf all by myself. She's different. When she gets there, the first thing she does is look at the schedule of events. If there's a ping pong tournament, she'll want to be in it. If there's a cornhole tournament, she wants to be there. If there's beach volleyball, she wants to be part of that. So last time we were down there, it wasn't really crowded at that time. And so I walked down with her because it was time for beach volleyball. And there she went and stood on the beach all by herself. Just waiting for people to join her in beach volleyball. And so I went off to do my exercising and there she was all alone. She eventually found someone to play cornhole with. So often there is a fear that I have as shepherd of the sheep to be leading and calling, going on to my way and turning around and recognizing that I'm all by myself. We are to make our efforts to unite. Even though, as Jesus says, there may be division. But there's a difference. There's a difference. There's a difference in being an offensive witness, of being someone who is critical and judgmental. And that is much different from the offensiveness of Jesus' message. Because a life in relationship of Jesus, we will offend. We will offend those who are materialistic. We will offend those who are self-centered. We will offend those who are self-serving, and we will offend those who carry with them and live out their prejudices. And we are to question those idolatries. Jesus talks about those who will lose their life. I don't think he's so much talking about physical life. But I think more so he's emphasizing that we are to lose ourselves in his life. We are to lose ourselves in our relationship with Christ. We are to lose ourselves and the love that he shares. And with that then, we would be extraordinary. Amen.